You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. In the past, we've briefly talked about advanced opportunities for Idaho students, and today we wanted to go more in depth in order to get a better understanding of this unique program. Advanced opportunities allow students to individualize their high school learning plan in order to get a jump start, basically, after high school. Now, there are a lot of options that include dual credit, technical competency credit, advanced placement, as well as international baccalaureate programs. Joining me live in studio today to break all of this down for us is Dr. Tina Polashek. She is the Advanced Opportunities Coordinator for the State Department of Education. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gemma. Thank you for having me.
So I know I briefly touched on kind of a little bit of the program, but really explain what the program is.
So Advanced Opportunities is an effort from the state level to get more of our students to go on to college and into careers in their starting early on. So we want them to start thinking about what do they want to do with their lives as early as middle school and high school so that they have a smooth transition there. Now, Advanced Opportunities are our four programs, which you had highlighted, one being dual credit, second being advanced placement, international baccalaureate, and then career and technical education. And what happens is when students participate in these programs, oftentimes they'll incur some sort of fee. And that fee can come in the form of an exam fee. Sometimes it's the college credit tuition. And so what we want to do is offset those costs so that students are not prohibited from participating. And so what we were seeing early on now, things like dual credit have been around the state for 20 years now. And so those students who had the means to participate in those programs, the wealthier people in the state went ahead and participated. And then those students who came from middle-class families or perhaps were low-income, we saw that they were not participating. And so the legislature came forward a few years back and created the Fast Forward program, which allocates $4,125 to every public school student starting in seventh grade. And they have 6 years during which they can use that allocation and they can use it towards those costs that are incurred during that time. And so what that's done is it's opened just a huge amount of possibilities for our high schools. And so we see students really stepping up to that challenge as the state has said, you know, we want you to pursue your dreams and your passions. And in fact, we believe in you so much that we're going to invest in your future while you're still in high school.
And a lot of times we've talked about dual credit, but there is more to this program, like you said. So when we look at the technical competency credit, this is something that if you do in high school, maybe you'll become an electrician, something like that, correct?
Sure. And what happens, so the 4125, there are three ways that students can use that funding. And the first one being dual credit, the second one actually being something called an overload class. An overload class is something that a student takes above and beyond their regular high school schedule. So if I have 7 periods a day at my school and I want to take an 8th period or I want to take a 0 hour, it's likely that there will be some sort of fee associated with that. So we will front the cost for that, or in some cases reimburse a family if the student is trying to check off those graduation requirements early. We also will pay for exams. And so there are a number of exams. Most of them are college credit bearing, and then also technical, career and technical exams that lead to certifications.
I'm speaking with Dr. Tina Polashek. She is the Advanced Opportunities Coordinator for the state of Idaho, talking about advanced opportunities and what it is. So when we talk about dual credits, how do you know if those credits will transfer then to a university, or you could potentially get an associate's degree, correct?
Absolutely. So dual credit, largely due to this program, has really launched in our state. And so what we find is that it's causing some tensions in terms of that transfer, but the State Board of Education has come forward a few years back and they created what was called a GEM framework, and that stands for General Education Matriculation. And what it is it's a series of about 36 credits that no matter which public institution you take it from here in Idaho, they are guaranteed to transfer between those institutions. Now, that said, if it's an out-of-state institution, you'll need to go to those transfer guides, and some institutions will take them, some won't. The state can't be in charge of all institutions, right? And so we want to make sure that students have really, really good advising. And so when parents or counselors have conversations with students, I encourage them to start with two questions. Where does the kid want to go and what do they want to do? If you can start kind of kind of analyzing
figuring out those two things, that's
exactly.
huge.
And so then you can go to the institution and look at those transfer mm-hmm. guides and be like, all right, so I need to take English 101. I can check off those boxes now.
So it might make, if I want to go to X school, mm-hmm. it would might make more sense to take this class versus
exactly.
a different class so that that transfers.
Exactly.
And when you do dual credit, do you go off the high school campus? I mean, do you have to go onto a college campus to take these classes?
So we have a number of models across the state. The most popular model is actually in the high school. And so we have a number of secondary teachers that have master's degrees and actually have the same qualifications as adjunct faculty mm. at one of the institutions. And so they have to be vetted properly. They have to work with faculty and mentors at the different institutions. And so they can provide that same rigor of coursework at the high school campus. We also have a number of dual credits offered online, largely through Idaho Digital Learning Academy, which has been a great partner with us. And then we have a growing number of students who are actually choosing to go on the college campus. And this is a growing trend, particularly for those kids who want that associate's mm-hmm. degree. And that associate's degree is really an ambitious goal. And I always caution folks to say, there are about 3% of the kids that can really pull that off. 60 credits is a lot. And to dedicate 2 years of high school to that pathway is really, really time consuming, and it's a commitment. So not appropriate for everyone. However, we want the option to be there. We want those opportunities to be on the table for the family and for the student to make decisions mm-hmm. about what is best for my child.
Well, talk to me about the advanced placement and the baccalaureate program and how that would work. I know from when I was in high school, there were certain fees associated with those advanced placement tests that you would take for college credit.
Absolutely. So the AP program, Advanced Placement, and IB, they are run by private entities that essentially create a test. And so the teacher will teach the class at a very, very high rigor that is similar to college mm-hmm. rigor. And then at the end of the year, the students sit down for a test. And if they receive, say, a 3, a 4, or a 5 on the test, then potentially it could translate into college credit. But that varies by institution. So if you're looking at an Ivy League school, they might require you to have a 4 or 5 on an exam. If you're looking at a state school, they might be able to offer you credit for a 3 on the exam. So that's going to vary by institution in terms of how that turns into credit.
And you said that this is the funding, the $4,000+ per student, is for public school students. If your child is in a private institution, can they still participate in advanced opportunities, but it will be out of pocket from the family? I would make that assumption.
That's correct. A lot of the private schools also have dual credit programs or are AP schools. And so those are usually out of pocket costs for those families, or they are subsidized somehow by the school. Mm-hmm. Now, there are a number of students who duly enroll. So, for example, we have a handful of homeschool students who
I was just going to ask you about homeschooled mm-hmm. kids. How does that work?
And so what we find is that online public charter schools are a really good option for those families because they can still kind of maintain that homeschool environment, but it's technically a public school. And so there is a win-win situation. At the end of the day, we're about giving options. And so if a homeschool student can come and enroll into a public school for even a period or a couple of periods a day, then they can participate in the program. And those policies really vary by school district. And mm-hmm. so each school district has a policy on what it means to be enrolled, how they work with homeschool students. And so there is a little bit of homework that they have to do there. But more often than not, we're able to find some middle ground and just a win-win situation. This program is about giving options to kids and families and launching them into their post-secondary ambitions.
And when we talk about post-secondary, I think it's really important to make clear that that doesn't mean that that's a four-year institution for every student.
That's correct. We want to make sure that career technical education is included, trade schools, vocational training, the military, and then, of course, the 2-year and the 4-year institutions. We want those options after high school. What kind of education and learning are you going to do after high school? Because it can't stop just with your high school diploma.
And this can be an overwhelming process for families, especially if you're growing up in a home maybe where mom and dad didn't go mm-hmm. on to some type of education after high school. So best thing that a family should do? Should they go talk to the school guidance counselor? Is that the first step?
Absolutely. So it starts with, you know, having that conversation with your child is of what do you want to do?
Have that first. Yeah.
And where do you want to go? And then definitely talk to that guidance counselor. A lot of high schools, actually the majority of high schools in the state now have what is called a college and career advisor. And that is a result of some funding that we received from the state legislature for positions like that. And those individuals are specifically trained to help students along this path to make sure that they really have not only their decision made, but the financial resources to get them to pursue their passions.
I want to thank you for coming in today and talking about this. My guest today, Dr. Tina Poleshek. She is the Advanced Opportunities Coordinator for the State Department of Education. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Gemma, for having me.